The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our risen Lord, Martha was clearly struggling. She and her sister Mary had buried their brother Lazarus. They had sent for Jesus when Lazarus became seriously ill. They knew that he had healed others with serious illnesses and afflictions. But he didn't come right away. He delayed. And while Jesus delayed, Lazarus died. Only after Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days, time enough for decomposition to produce the stench of death, did Jesus show up at the village of Mary and Martha. In Martha's words, we hear a woman in conflict with her own thoughts. She's frustrated with the fact that Jesus hadn't shown up in time to do something about her brother's illness. And when she heard that Jesus was finally coming, she didn't wait in the house. In typical Martha fashion, she took the initiative and ran out to meet him, while her more reserved and reticent sister sat back in the house. Her initial statement seems to be tinged with a bit of anger and accusation. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Why didn't you come when we sent for you?" But then she seems to catch herself. She gets control of her frustrations and makes herself say something that gives indication of faith. "But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." But is she expressing the wish that God would have given her what she had asked when she asked for Jesus to come? In the words of this remarkable woman named Martha, we hear the struggle of one torn between humility in the presence of Jesus and complaining against him, the battle between faith and doubt, the tension between hope and despair. The Bible shows us real people experiencing all the conflicts that life in a fallen world can present. Martha is like the man who cried, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And the gracious Lord does help her in her struggles. He wants her to see primarily two things. First of all, that Martha and her brother Lazarus and all of humanity stand helpless in the face of death and are in need of a Savior. And secondly, that he is that Savior whom she and Lazarus and all of humanity need. "Your brother will rise again," Jesus asserts. And Martha responds with her confession of faith, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But behind these words is perhaps a wish that Jesus could do something for her right now. After all, the last day may be a long way off. There are more immediate needs here. And Jesus shows himself to be that Savior described by the prophet Isaiah, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking wick he will not snuff out. He asserts to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he poses his question, "Martha, do you believe this?" Let's pose for a moment a slightly different question. If we compose a sentence in which the word in the subject position is "we," and the direct object is the message of Easter, what verb should we insert between subject and object? What possibilities might there be, and what are the implications of selecting a particular verb? I think it would be safe to say that there are many in our worldly culture today who would be willing to use the verb commemorate in some sense. We commemorate the message of Easter. We are reminded that in the tradition of Western culture, there is this annual holiday. It's on the calendar. It reminds us that spring is coming. Life is returning to the bleak winter landscape. That's nice. And there are those who will say, "We observe the message of Easter." Yes, that's a wonderful story, that Jesus rose from the dead. And how encouraging it is to think that even something as hopeless as death itself can be overcome. But Jesus was not asking Martha if she was willing to commemorate a resurrection message, or to observe the message at regular intervals of time. He was eliciting from her something far more radical than commemoration and observance. He was eliciting from her the response of faith. And by the grace of God, she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Now, as John explains, "These things are written so that we may believe." A gracious Lord wills to elevate our commemoration of the message of Easter and our observance of the message of Easter. He deals patiently with our slowness of heart and enables us to say also, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." And today we celebrate that faith with psalms and hymns employing texts that have nourished the faithful for centuries. Along with the words of hymn writer Thomas Kingo, Psalm 18 gives expression to Easter faith. This psalm was a favorite of Dr. Martin Luther. And this is how he described his relationship to this psalm and its Easter content. "It is my own beloved psalm. Although the entire book of Psalms and all of Holy Scripture are dear to me, as my only comfort and source of life, I fell in love with this psalm especially, and therefore I call it my own. When emperors and kings, the wise and the learned, and even saints could not help me, this psalm proved a friend and helped me out of great troubles. And as a result, it is dearer to me than all wealth, honor, and power. I would be most unwilling to trade this psalm for all of it." We celebrate together our Easter faith in the words of Psalm 118.